Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you for the love that binds us together. Thank you for the privilege to gather in your presence. So come into your word. I come as one under covering of my spiritual fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. I recognize my limitation, my natural mind, to bring forth this word. And so I ask for mercy, fresh unction, mercy and help from your throne to enable me to speak as an oracle of God. Let your word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it come in purity. Let it come in power. Let it come in simplicity. Let it come in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal, eternal work in our hearts and our lives, including my own. So our wills will be more submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with the revelation and insight that comes from the Holy Spirit. Our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, in this service, you will break yokes. Lord, you will cause the veil to be torn and removed so that in your light we will see light. We will move upward. We will rise up toward where you are. And you will help us to have strength in our feet and ankle bones to be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only, bringing forth much fruit to the praise of your glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise and to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old, that it will bring, Lord, refreshing to my fathers, it will be a blessing to my brethren, and it will bring pleasure to you, my King. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before I go to the word, I'd like to give honor to my fathers, pastor, and mommy. Thank you so much, ma, for your steadfast love that is unshakable. Thank you for a large heart that keeps bearing us up. Amen. Truly, the Bible says that when you see a building, what you see is the building. You don't know the foundation. The apostles and the prophets are the foundation of our lives. And we give honor to them. We give glory to God for giving us precious fathers as pastor and mommy in Jesus' name. We love you very much. We really appreciate your ministry in our lives. We're in the book of Thessalonians, and it's important in this season of the perfection and the tribulation and the perfection of the church, that we understand that this church was born in persecution. And that's why I believe Pastor asked us to study this book, because there are many principles we can learn, because without tribulation, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. And is that we need to enter into the kingdom and bring down the glory and use the glory to fulfill the work of God on the earth. And that's why God wants us to look at, has having us look at this book, because it was a church birthed in persecution, yet they triumphed over that persecution. And we also are going to triumph in Jesus' name. So we saw in our last lesson, we were looking at verses 9 to 12, and that the Apostle Paul was talking about the importance of abounding love, increasing and abounding in love. And our love abounds towards God, our love abounds towards brethren, our love abounds towards people that are not Christians. Our love must abound to all these categories of people, and God wants it to be so, because you know, when we're persecuted, what God wants to come out of you and I is love. When you know, like when you take a knife and you go to a tree and you stick the knife in the tree, what comes out is the sap of that tree. The same way, when people, you know, persecute you, you know, and when circumstances come against us, what God wants to come out is that life of God that produces divine love. So our response under pressure must be divine love. You know, so the love must be embedded deep, deep within us. Amen. The Bible talks about being rooted and grounded in love, so that under pressure and with spiritual power, great spiritual power, what comes out is divine love. Amen. And we saw this, an example of this in our last lesson, as David and his men, you know, were in Ziklag, and you know, they were pursuing the Amalekites. And we saw that it was their love for the Egyptian that they met, who was half dead, that brought them to the camp of the hosts of the Amalekites, and they pursued, they overtook, and they recovered all. And we also are going to pursue and overtake and recover all in Jesus' name. That's the example. So the place of persecution It's a place we often want to avoid. But truly, brethren, there's no avoiding it. If you want to get the crown of glory, amen? It's a place where our faith is tested, like the Bible says in James chapter 1, and the character of God is formed and built in us, so we are without defect. Let's look at James chapter 1, very quickly, verses 2 to 4. Give it to me in the Message Bible, so you get the sense of it in the Message Bible. James chapter 1. Thank you. Verse 2. Yes, okay, yes. Now consider it. Let's read it together. Consider it a share gift. So it's a gift. God is giving you a gift. Consider it a share gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Next verse. Next verse. Quickly. Thank you. You know that under pressure, your faith life. I can't hear you, brethren. Is forced into the open and shows his true colors. The true colors come out. Amen. So with what comes out is not your faith life, then correct it quickly and let your faith life come out. Amen. Next verse. Verse 4. Quickly, please. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. See, the most important thing is not to come out of it, it's how you come out of it. Amen. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed and not deficient in any way. So the persecution will expose deficiencies. Look at verse 4 in the Amplified. Verse 4 in the Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play. And do a what? Thorough work. So that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Amen. That's the will of God. Raising up a perfect church that will inherit the glory. And that's where we are in God's calendar. We also saw that God wants us to work. The Bible says, he that does not work, let him not eat. Okay, so that it's the will of God for us to work. And we work because God wants us to contribute positively to society. He wants to meet all our needs. And then he wants to use the opportunity of working in an environment to reflect him to the people around us so we attract people to God. Amen. And so that's what God wants us to do. Even the way you do your work attracts people. Amen. Because the whole world is looking at us. So we honest, loyal, and excellent conduct. What does God want people to see? Two things. Our attitude and our conduct. The attitude of a meek and a quiet spirit, and then a honest, loyal, excellent conduct is what God wants men to see at our workplace. And this shows God off. And we're supposed to withdraw from brethren who are not like that. They call themselves brethren, and consistently they gossip, consistently they cheat our employers, either by their time or by their money. But you know, they consistently they give less than their best at work. The Bible says withdraw from them. So their evil communication will not corrupt our good manners in Jesus' name. It's very important that we understand that. And why is this so? It's because in the place of work, we are not serving a man, we are serving God. We saw that very well last time. We're not going to go into it in detail in Colossians chapter 3, all right? So mediocrity can rob you of your inheritance. Doing things with a mediocre spirit can rob you of your inheritance because God is looking for excellence everywhere. He's an excellent God. He's giving us his excellent nature, and he set an excellent standard, and we have excellent pedigree ahead of us. The Daniels, the Josephs, you know, it's an excellent pedigree. The Pauls. So there's no reason for us not to be excellent. All right? So we set an excellent standard. And that's the will of God for us. And then by cultivating daily fellowship with God in the place of prayer, in the Word, in obedience, copying the example of our spiritual fathers, God has said in front of us, we then maintain this excellent standard. You know, and then show off God to people around us. And that's the will of God for us, brethren. You know, secular excellence is pursued by a diligent spiritual life. It's a lie of the devil. It's a myth that to be excellent, you have to cut out time from spiritual things. It's the other way around. You need to invest time in spiritual things to be able to sustain true excellence by the grace of God. Amen. So we saw that last week. We're now going to begin in verse 13 as we begin today. Trust the Lord to help us. Let's read together from verse 13. Okay. Now we command you, brethren. No. Can we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 13? We're now going to today's Bible study. Thank you. And I should have my own sword ready. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Thank you. No, but I would not have you be ignorant. Brethren, I can't hear you, brethren, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Next verse. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Next verse. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Next verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Next verse. Thank you. Then we which... No, I think you skipped. Yes. Then we which are alive... Okay, next verse. Thank you. On what our mindset should be about Christian brethren who lose their lives because of persecution. Because that was the setting. That was the context, you know, about brethren. And by using the term asleep, you know, use it twice. Use the term about brethren with sleep. But using the term asleep, we say he's saying that they're not dead. And it's challenging our natural thinking. Just the same way Jesus did. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 49 to 56. Let's start from 49 quickly. Luke chapter 8. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, in the case of Jairus' daughter. Luke 8, 49. And it came to pass... No, 49. While he yet spake, then cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the man. This man can do. Don't disturb him again. It is beyond control. You know, brethren, in our lives, the devil tells us that there are circumstances beyond control. There are situations beyond control. You know, there are some things that are beyond control. But look at what Jesus is saying. Next verse. Verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, immediately, mommy is easy to pray. You know, he answered him saying, fear not. Let's say it together. Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. It means that if you allow things from the outside to enter into your mind, it's a mindset now. You know, you will give up on some things you fight for. It says, fear not. Believe only. So you maintain that mindset of faith. Next verse. Verse 51. And when Jesus... Okay, next 51. You're a bit slow on the draw this morning. You need to speed up. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. Next verse. People that have faith. And that's why he put out all the unbelief. Because he can't do it alone in an atmosphere of faith. It's very important. You know, Jesus, Son of God, could not do that miracle without surrounding faith. That's why he went up on the mountain of Tabitha and took only 3 out of 12. He took only 3 and then the mother and the father. Of course, they will believe. They want the miracle, they will believe. Say, and all wept and bewildered, but he said, weep not. She is not what? Let's say together, she is not what? But sleepeth. Amen. Next verse. And they laughed him to scorn. Just like the devil can laugh at you in your mind. This thing that you are doing is not going to work. But you are going to have the last laugh. Knowing that she was dead. She was dead physically, but she wasn't dead spiritually. He wasn't lying. He was looking spiritual. They were talking physical. Next verse. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called her, saying, Maid, arise. Next verse. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway and commanded them to give her meat. Next verse. And her parents were astonished. They were believing, but when it actually happened, they were like them that dreamed. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. What is Jesus saying here? What is God saying to us? He's saying that we must start seeing, thinking, understanding, and speaking the way God does. And not how men do. Amen? It's very important. We are in the flesh, but we are not of the flesh. So it is important for us that we will not, if you don't see and speak and think and understand by choice, you know, the way God does, using the word of God, you will accept lying vanities. And you will forsake the very mercy that God sent you to deliver you because of the inclination of your mind and your heart. It's very important that we're not going to miss it in Jesus' name. So what is reality? Reality is what the word of God says about every situation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. God's word is eternal. It is an eternal seed. It is true yesterday. It is true today. It is true forever. So any other thing is not your reality. The word of God is our reality. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Let's read it together. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Next verse. For we walk by, we say, you have to scream it to me. We walk by, we want one time, we walk by, and not by sight. Not by sight, but next verse. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He's talking about being connected with God in your mind. He's connected with God in your mind. You know, we're talking about present in the body. He's talking about the fact that, you know, whether you are in the physical body on the earth, your mind will be connected with God. You must be present. He's saying that we are rather to be present with the Lord. He's talking about we want to be with God physically. But the important thing is he's talking about the connection in your mind with God. Look at the next verse. There's a very important reason why. Next verse. Wherefore we labor. It takes labor. That whether present in the body on this earth or absent over there. Whichever one, we are accepted of him. Your thinking must be acceptable to God. What you believe must be acceptable to God. You must not accept what is not acceptable. We have to reject what the lying vanities. You must reject lying. Look at the next verse. Next verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What does he say? He's talking about this. He's saying that, how can you please somebody you cannot see? How can you please somebody that you cannot understand? Because he's the one going to judge in the last day. And you want to have a good report with him. You're going to have a good report with me in Jesus' name. So he's telling us the importance of seeing the right thing, understanding the right thing, understanding what the Bible says, understanding what God is saying about every situation. Look at it by choice, by faith. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 11. Give that to me in the Amplified. Very important. Isaiah 55, verse 11, in the Amplified Bible. Let's read it together. Therefore, being conscious, Isaiah 55, you have like, Shadow kekeko sankare yababa kasantika. Rapa papa kushere. You have life. Okay. Amplify. Let's read it together. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. What is void? Without producing any effect. Jesus said, asleep. And he woke up. If he was dead, he wouldn't. He said, asleep. By choice. This is my reality. She's not dead, she's asleep. That's my reality. What is your reality, brethren? Call your reality what the Bible says. Don't accept the reality that Satan presents to you. Reject lying vanities. Cancel deficits. Undo the baggages. And call forth your reality. I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'm slow to speak. I'm quick to hear. I'm slow to wrath. I am not envious. I am content with what I have. Very important. You call him, man. But he shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It won't come back empty. It will accomplish the work and leave you a changed person with a testimony. That's the will of God for us. Amen. And that's what God wants us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, we won't turn there for time. He says, you know, therefore, we look not at the things that are seen. Because things that are seen are what? Temporal. But these which are not seen, the invisible things. What is invisible? The life of God. The blood of Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit. The name of Jesus. They are invisible. They are invisible. But they are real. You must understand that. Physical things were made from spiritual things. In Hebrews chapter 1, it tells us that the worlds were made by things that do not appear, and they are sustained by spiritual things, spiritual forces. So when you live in that realm, you can intercept the things that Satan wants to do and allow the will of God for your life to be done. In your entire life, in your household, in your home. And that's the will of God for us, okay? So we must not accept lying vanities. No, and he's coming back now to this, to the topic about the faithful ones who are asleep in the Lord. God is saying that we will see them again. Pastor often preaches this when he goes to funerals. He always says, it's like someone that traveled on a long journey. I can't forget. It was very apt. You know, it's like someone that traveled on a long journey. Somebody went to the North Pole. Out of place. So he's saying that you know, they're not lost. They're not gone, you know, forever. You know, it's just for some time. There's no finality to in the sense that you never ever say, no, we're going to see them again. Amen. And that's what he's saying here, that once their spirits are in union with God, we are going to see them again. That's what he's saying. All right. And that's the comfort that God is giving us today. Now, to understand this better, you must understand when the Bible talks about death, I spoke about overcoming death. When he talks about death, we have death at three levels. But whatever level, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Okay? So death is as a result of sin's substance. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 2 that the law of the spirit of life in Christ has saved from the law of sin and death. So we can overcome death by overcoming sin. You need to understand that. That's the core principle there. If you overcome sin, you will ultimately overcome death. Okay? That's the principle. And there are three types of death. You know, at least, you know, it occurs in three forms. You know, there's temporary spiritual death. In temporary spiritual death, that means that the sin nature, you know, has blocked the flow of the life of God into the spirit. The recreated spirit of a human being, either through wrong words, wrong thoughts, and wrong actions. Now, it is called temporary because it blocks the flow of that life. So, death is separation from God because God is the very source of life. So, anytime you're separated from God, I know temporarily, it's called temporary spiritual death. And it can be overcome by confessing your sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ is released to remove that block. So, once again, the life of God is flowing into us. And that life of God is backed by the power of the Holy Spirit and helps us now to obey God. So that's temporary spiritual. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 17, because it's a foundation class, so we can learn and see this. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. establishing that, one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Next verse, verse 8. If we say we have no sin substance, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Next verse. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive our sins so we don't go to hell, and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleansing is extremely important, okay? Alright, so we see that's that removal of that block that is created by sin. That's temporary spiritual death. Then we have permanent spiritual death, in which case that a person, the spirit of a person, you know, is eternally separated from God, because that person did not accept Jesus in this life. So that person's spirit is not recreated in the image of God. It is permanent separation from God. Look at Isaiah 66 verse 4. And it brings with it corruption and torment. We will not have torment in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's why we need to accept Jesus as our Lord and keep praying for our loved ones. Okay? Look at Isaiah 66 verse 4. Say, I will, 24. Isaiah 66, 24. Thank you. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. This is real, brethren. It's real, and that's why there should be a sincere passion in our house to rescue people from death. And that's why your example at work is very important. Your attitude, you know, your conduct. Because God is using that to touch people's hearts and rescue them from hell. Amen. All right. And then there is physical death, which is what he was talking about here. You know, and in physical death, the human spirit is separated from the body, from the physical body. So it's no longer in the body, but it is still in connection and in union with God. So it's alive. It's very important that we understand that. So it's not, we can't see the person anymore, but the soul is like, you know, like Pastor often gives us the examples, like my suit, you know, if I take off my suit in the afternoon, it will be lifeless. It will just drop on the bed or on the floor because I'm not there anymore. In the same way, when the human spirit leaves the human body, the body slumps. Okay, and the spirit is now alive, and if it's recreated in nature and in the image of God, it goes up to God. Amen. Now, before Jesus came, it went to Abraham's bosom. It went to Abraham's bosom. But if it's not, it goes down. So the key is we either go up or we go down. We're going to go up in Jesus' name. All right. That's the, in James 2:26, we see that reality as the body without the spirit is dead. So the body needs the spirit to be alive, and we need the body to operate on this earth. All right. Now, what I believe that the Holy Spirit is also saying to us today is that the last enemy we can overcome and must overcome is death. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Let's read together. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. We are the last generation, and this is the last enemy. Amen. Amen. And no, we now begin, and that's why God is having us preach this. Pastors preached it. I'm just going to preach it again, you know, the way he has done, so that we can have faith in our hearts, in the life of God. And as we walk and live the life of God, we will overcome death. Now, overcoming death doesn't mean you're not going to die. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it's appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the eternal judgment. So, you can determine when you die, where you die, and how you die. Amen. That is what it means to overcome death. So, you do it when you are satisfied with life. If you're not satisfied yet, so you keep living. Amen. All right, so we need to understand that that's what at the heart of God, that we have to have the right perspective, the right mindset, see the way God sees it. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start from verse 20. Let's back up to verse 20. So we see this. The key of it all, brethren, is the resurrection. The resurrection is the center, it's the very heart of our Christianity. Amen. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Next verse. For since by man, I can't hear you, but since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Next verse is the legal argument. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Hallelujah. Amen. So you are made alive. We are made alive. Amen. Next verse. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And after that, next verse. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Next verse. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Now, what is he saying there? What is that? What is this? What the apostle is telling us, that brethren, we have overcome death. Firstly, in our spirits, then in our souls, and then in our body, by the life of God that God has given us. He says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So the principle to understand here is that the more you walk in life, the more you have the power, the liberty, and the privilege to exercise authority over death. It's very important that we understand that, okay? Now, let's move to verse 15. You know, it's now talking about verse 15 now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this we say unto you, that the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. There are two words here he has mentioned, alive and remain. So he's not just talking about any kind of Christianity. He's talking about a faithful, militant Christianity. He's talking about soldiers of the Lord, fellow soldiers. He's not talking about people that are lazy, because he's spoken in 1 Corinthians 15 about every man in his own order. Now, there are orders of the resurrection, and there are glory of the resurrection. So your order and your glory is dependent on our choices. We choose our own order. We choose our... So what he's talking about here is for those who are alive and remain. We'll be alive and remain in Jesus' name. Now, what does that mean? It means that you're physically alive. But then he means that you must also remain in vital connection with the Lord. Amen. All right? And how do you remain in him? Two things. You abide in him, and he abides in you. So you abide in him by the flow of life. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. You abide in him. That's extremely important. Look at 1 John 2, 27. Let's read together. But the anointing which you have received of him does what? Abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. About the flow of life, and then his word abides in you. Acts 20:32. No, I commend you unto the word of his grace. That word must abide. He's talking about people that allow the word of God to abide. They live by faith. They are present with the Lord, even though they are on this side of the divide. They're not in heaven. They're not. But the Bible says, "The Son of Man, which is in heaven." In their mind's eye, their reality is spiritual things, and they superimpose it upon what they're seeing. So this is the will of God for us, you know. And God wants our mindset to change. Look at verse 51, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, in verse 51. Our mindset to change. So we abide and remain. We allow the word of God to remain. We allow the life of God to remain. So we make those choices to allow those things to remain. It's when they remain in us that we now remain in him. Amen? All right, okay. Look at, yes. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Next verse. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's talking about the same thing. Next verse. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality by the life of God. Wear immortality. Amen. Next verse. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Brethren, your resurrection is the proof that Satan has failed. He has failed. And not just failed in one area. He failed big time. You know where he failed? No, Jesus fought the battle for us everywhere. He fought it on earth and dominated the devil. Went to hell, dominated him, spoiled him, went back up to heaven with us and took us there. So guess what? We and you and I are more than conquerors. We have the victory on earth. We have the victory over the grave. And we have the victory with him in heaven. Amen. We are more than conquerors. That's what he's saying here. That we put on incorruption. No, and that's the mindset we must have. You know, so this is the key. The question is, when do you put on incorruption? When? Because there are different times. You can put it on pre-tribulation. You can put it on mid-tribulation. You can put it on post-tribulation. And they're not all the same. It's like first class, business, and economy. When you fly on a plane, not the same. The price is different. You have to pray and live the price to qualify for that resurrection. When Jesus was up from there, there were some saints, Bible saints, that their bodies were, that's Christ and the first fruits. When Jesus went to hell, no, Bible says that the temple was trending. The Bible says that there was like an earthquake. And Bible says graves were open. And the bodies of the saints, they were around. People were seeing people that had died. It was a sign that these people are heaven bound for the resurrection based on the life they lived on earth. Has to be. It's a legal argument. Because he had not yet gone, but it was by faith. But when he went and he paid the price, Bible says he now took captivity captive and ascended on high. And he now said, he and them said this, that Paul was given to write. He says, death is swallowed up in victory. Next verse. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Next verse. The sting of death is what? And the strength of sin is what? But we have the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we can also say the same thing. And oh death, where is thy sting? God is saying that, brethren, like mommy always declares and we've always been saying, we are unstoppable. Our gains are unshakable. We should not truly, truly, based on all that Jesus has provided, we should not be going forward today and backward tomorrow. Stagnancy should not be our portion. It shouldn't. We can't be held back. If anything holding us back is ourselves. And God wants us to get up and move forward. And we're going to move forward in Jesus' name. All right, so let's look at just very quickly. No, there are everybody talks about rapture. Rapture is not for everybody. And that may surprise you. It's not for everybody. It's for those that qualify. Alive and remain. Alive and remain. So if you are alive and you don't remain, you will not go yet. You will still go. But you will not go yet. Because that you didn't qualify. You didn't pay for that ticket. You know when we are checking in at the airport, you know, there is a line for first class and business. Then there is another line for, you know what I mean, economy. You know, you will not line up in economy spiritually in Jesus' name. Pay the price. Leave the price. That's what God is saying. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 15:23 tells us, know that them that are Christ at his coming. Christ is now coming. And those who are ready, what are they going to do? They are going to, as it were, the Bible talks about the glorious church in Ephesians 5:26. Having no spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. That's the church that gets raptured. That's the church that inherits the glory. It's a mature leadership in cleansing perfection and a fully submitted followership. So not everybody is at the same level. But those that are not at the level are fully submitted to those that are in it. This is why submission is key in our heart. So they are one as far as God is concerned. I and the children. It's them that inherit the glory. It's them that take the gospel of the kingdom all over the nations for a witness. And it is them that... It's not the people that are... No. It is the people that are living, okay? And of course, mid-tribulation, we see that in Revelation 11, it's basically made up of the two people. Talks about, you know, after the rapture, there's a tribulation. That's 7 years to me. Now, in the beginning of the tribulation, God raises up two witnesses, okay? And those two witnesses demonstrate the power and the glory of God, the generation. Now, God allows the Antichrist to kill them about the middle of the tribulation. Then after 3.5 days, they are raised up, they and 144,000 Jews. Revelation 14 verse 1. No, they are now, right, that mid-tribulation is essentially Israel. It's not a flight that you can say, I qualify. The one that you all qualify for is this one. The first one, pre-trib. And then there's post-tribulation. The Bible says, at the end, in Matthew 13, it says, no, at the end, the sun shall be darkened, you know, and all that. And then there will be some that will be raptured at that time. Why do you want to wait until then? That's not our portion in Jesus' name. So what is God saying? We must exercise victory over death every day. Exercise victory over death every day by walking more and more in life. Deeper and deeper in life. And as you cancel the effect of sin, you are automatically giving yourself leverage over death. That's what he said, because it's the law of sin and death. So we deny ourselves food, sleep, our legitimate rights, pleasures, when we have to give time to pray, spend time in the word of God, imitate spiritual fathers, copy their example, obey God by thinking, speaking, seeing what God is saying and declaring it in your life, around you. Loving righteousness and hating sin. That's it. And that's how we resist sin from inside out. And that life that we live in begins to produce an effect. Look at Proverbs 12:28. But then life doesn't just, it's not, if when you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you reap eternal life. You don't just do it for doing sake. There is a reward for every single thing you do. Every prayer you pray, for every time you spend in the world, there's a commensurate reward. There's a transformation. Look at Proverbs 12:20. Give it to me in the Amplified. Let's read it together. Life is in the way of righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. And in his pathway, there is no death. But what? Immortality. Perpetual, eternal life. That's what he's saying. The more you walk in life. Amen. Moral. So he's talking about perfection. It's about perfection from inside out. The nature of devil is cleansed out. And nature of God dominates. The nature of God is there. Spirit and soul and body is maintained. You grow into maturity. And that's it. That's what God wants from us. And you see, this is very important, because that life now begins to produce divine healing. And that's where death is being broken. It produces divine healing. It produces divine health. It's not just there for nothing. It's keeping your body healthy. Keeping the atoms and the molecules in every cell configured the way God wants it to be. So even at the very cellular level, Satan cannot tamper with your body. It's not by mouth, it's by power. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, it's power. You make it like that. He can't touch it. There's a force field around it. Amen? And then we enjoy divine protection. So we can live long to inherit the glory and use it to fulfill the will of God, and then can decide when and how we die. And we, I believe God that we are not going to die in Jesus' name. Amen? We will go up. We will be caught up. Amen? So, brethren, let's stop holding back. The Bible says they love not their lives unto death. Stop holding back. What is it that is holding us back? Think about it. Is it the pleasures? Is it the fear that maybe... The Bible says in the way of life, there is no death. In the way, you cannot obey God and die. It will look as if, the three little boys looked as if they were going to die. Look at the case of Uriah as we close. If you look at the life of Uriah, you may think, ah, what did Uriah get? A young man married a beautiful wife. They have not had any child, you know. And then he went and they gave him a note that you don't know that you should kill him. He himself, he didn't look into it. How can you be so? God says we should be using wisdom. You know, you can think about, what a wasted life. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. God wants to get you and I out of this life only. You must think about this life and that one. Because that is the end of our faith. It's the larger picture. That's the end. If you think only in this life, all the commentators in this life, to gain in that life. To gain that life, you have to, it's a spiritual accounting. You have to understand the account. Look at the rich man. He was rich in this life. In the next life, he went to hell. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Neither is it saying that we should not be rich. That's not the issue. The issue is that we should love God. And we should seek God. And walk in life to the belief that we can. Keep breaking barrier. For example, let's say you were supposed to pray once every 6 hours. You do once every 6 hours. Do you do every hour? How regularly do you every hour? So you push it. I want to be acknowledged God every hour. Sometimes you find that you acknowledge before the hour. So you fulfill at every opportunity. As you are trying to fulfill every hour, you fulfill at every opportunity. Because every opportunity, okay, well, it's not yet the hour, but Lord, I acknowledge you. I ask for mercy to be faithful. I walk in love. You pray in the Spirit. So as you do that, you are walking deeper in life. That life begins to arrange your thinking process, change who you are, and transform us into the image of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Luke 21:36 says we should be accounted worthy to escape this resurrection. Being caught up in the rapture is something that you have to be accounted worthy to escape. It says, watch ye therefore and pray always. That's what God is saying. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things, and you will escape. That shall come to and to stand before the Son of Man. Just watching and praying with greater diligence. Let's repent.
Shortly, Pastor K. It's been going on in my heart for a bit. We have two thoughts. I believe the Lord wants to give us the last thought. We say we are unstoppable. Our gains are unshakable. But there's one that's been coming into my heart for a bit. We are also untouchable. We are untouchable. We are unstoppable. And our gains are unshakable. And I want us to just go to 1 John 5. And we just quickly look at verse 18. We are untouchable. The word says it. Amen. Amen. And we begin to claim it, begin to prophesy it, begin to see coming to fruition in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to read about four different versions, but I'm going to start with King James Version. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Keepeth him, everybody say, keepeth himself. So whose responsibility is that? Whose responsibility is that? To be untouchable, what must we do?
Keep ourselves.
Keep ourselves. Amen. So he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked man toucheth him, and that wicked one toucheth him not, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now let me read Message. We know, message please, message. We know that none of the God begotten makes a practice of sin. We know, don't be a fait accompli to sin. Says we know that none of the God begotten makes a practice of sin, fatal sin. When something is fatal, what does it mean? Kills. It means it takes your life. The God begotten are also the God protected. I love that. The God begotten are also the God protected. The evil one cannot lay a hand on them, because the God begotten is the God protected. Now, brethren, I've been talking and I've been praying about staying away from sin. Please stay away from sin. It's fatal. The Pied Piper of Harmony warring against our homes, warring against our youths, warring against our minds, social media, chat room, pornographic materials, medium is warring against our lives. They are fatal. They are deadly. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. Message said it. It is a fatal sin. Fatal. Men who have been treacherous to the wives of their youth do not live long, because it is a fatal sin. Let our bosom, the young people here, let our bosom satisfy you. Be ravished with her love, not with the phantom that you see, the lying vanities that you see that pops at you, that encaptures you and makes you a slave. Be free. Yokes are broken. Young people, don't touch it. It's the Pied Piper of Hamelin. And you know the devil is so bad. Even you may be just going on your own, jaja, the thing pops at you. Shut it down. That's the devil wanting to destroy you. It's a fatal sin. God begotten, also God protected. The evil one can't. Everybody say can't. He cannot. Because he's God protected. Hallelujah. He's God protected. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I'm God protected. Because I'm God begotten. I'm God protected. Because I'm God begotten. And so the wicked one can't lay a hand on me. But I too, I keep myself. Hallelujah. So when you're going to that chat room, remember, keep myself. When you are going there, remember, you know, many of us, See, let me tell you what the devil tells us. Hey, after I haven't done the act.
Huh?
You have done it. Because as long as you have looked in your heart and desired and found pleasure in sin, it has been hatched. And you're already captured. And you're already a slave. Because you know the next time you see yourself going there and you now be hiding. You now be... Why are you hiding? Why don't you come and show it in part to Pastor Luby that I did that? Why can't you let Mommy Sarah look into your phone and check your history? I might say, Tilo CB, but see, at least as a mommy, I can still knock him on the head and tell him, don't do that again. Please don't hurt my daughters. And daughters, don't hurt my sons. And young people, stay holy.
Amen.
Amen. I don't even know what brought me here. I don't even know what brought me here. Otoni Kotaba, Otoni Bitaba. Anyway, we know, I'm reading the New King James Version. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches not, does not touch him. And the wicked could hear the shining. Hey, one word, I'm an English student. Can't, does not. Powerful words. Now let's look at Amplified. We know absolutely. Give me Amplified, please. We know absolutely, without any shadow of doubt, that anyone born of God does not deliberately. Everybody.
Deliberately.
Everybody.
Deliberately.
Everybody.
Deliberately.
Everybody. Then knowingly. Those chat rooms are deliberate, yo. They are not accidental. You actually chat. You actually enjoy it. You actually look into it. So see what the Bible says. We know absolutely that anyone born of God. Now, brethren, you must know that this must be God. Because I'm not into all this. I'm not very savvy. I'm not savvy in IT or technology. So when those things come to me, myself, I'm wondering. I'm going to be 16. I'm not very savvy. Then you must know it is Holy Ghost that is making me feel the pain of my children. So in the place of intercession, he will be exposing to me because he wants to break the yoke over the body. See the men of God that are falling like pack of cards. It's an attack of the devil on the body of Christ. Please don't dance to the tune of the Piper of Hamelin. Do you know, when we were young, he'll be playing some music and all the children will be dancing to it. Don't follow the devil! The Piper of Abilene, his new music is social media, chat room, pornographic medium. Don't go there! Makato soto boshete. So don't defraud one another. So you don't open the doors. Because if you defraud one another, you will open the doors. It does not permit the man, it does not permit the woman, but you want to achieve it. Because defraud is a strong word. It turned into be illegal. It's not allowed. The marriage bed is undefiled. Pastor and I must do a marriage seminar. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence with him preserves him. And let's read it again. Don't everybody read this so. We know absolutely. That is without shadow of doubt. That anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects it. That's Christ's divine presence. The Holy Ghost, that is within him, preserves him against the evil. That is the way of escape. Oh. the spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ dwells in me, he will give life to our mortal bodies. Be with us and preserve us against the evil. And then the wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip on him, or touch. I love that. Does not lay hold. Can't even get a grip, not touch him. So we are untouchable. There's somebody, we are untouchable. In the name of Jesus. Because we will keep ourselves from all evil. And the evil one will not be able to touch us. So sister, I am here from tomorrow. We are untouchable. We are unstoppable. We are unshakable. Our gains are unshakable. All my leaders, in your prayers, it's now untouchable. We are spot unstoppable, and our gains are unshakable. Amen. That is it now. Threefold. Hallelujah. 30, 60, and 100. But we had to do the 30. We had to do the 60 before now he's promoting us to 100. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brethren. Mommy has spoken. The Lord has spoken to us. Well, the Lord has spoken through mommy. Amen. Amen. And brethren, you know, she said 30, 60, 100 is the degree to which you go that you get this. Is how far you go. So let's go all the way. Pray with travail. Pray in tongues. Keep an honest and a humble heart. Obey instruction. You know, walk in love. And you will meet God in the place of glory. You will be God protected. His presence will be within him. Will his presence within you. You took it away. The presence within you will keep you. So you will not be able to lay hold, get a grip upon, or touch you. The Bible says that, but the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and he will protect you. Say amen.
Amen.
Christ's divine presence within you will preserve you. Say amen.
Amen.
Against every evil. And the wicked one will not lay hold, get a grip on, or touch us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow our heads to pray. Amen. So it's faith, brethren. Mommy said it. We now call it. We now start declaring it. It's by faith. So let's repent. And determine to forsake sin so we don't do it consistently. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer from victory. Without covering of our fathers, let's raise up our right hand to God and put our left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I confess my sins and I clean with the blood. I receive forgiveness and cleansing, and I now choose to forsake consistent sin. In the name of Jesus, I ask for mercy and I look to you as I come to pray. Thank you for your word that has shown me that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from sin and the power of death. So as I spend time in your presence, you will protect me, you will shield me, so the wicked one will not be able to catch me, and I will qualify for the resurrection of Christ when he comes for us at his coming. Father, have mercy on me. Help me to watch and to pray diligently, to abstain from all appearance of evil, to flee youthful lusts, to flee fornication, so I will preserve myself pure and holy. And in your presence, I will find fullness of joy and pleasures at your right hand. Help me, Father, to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray in tongues. Safreke koshangara ramai, rapa katikela, rapa bobo kakamukaka, rase sangea, yewominga, rabakatane, meroba bakatama, jefreke koba, rabakakamia, rede de benimond, ronde vede de domai, rapa bababa, zeprekanga mid, ronde de, mamparan, ronde de, jekalobale balubaba, mere de botu banakakaliba, mapapapaka, Rapa katamasa, zepreke, rangea, jelea, ranoba, raneba, bario, renebea, baromia, rababaya, jefrakala, renganai, bengaradarabai, rapa katama. In Jesus' name, amen.